And action!
Hello and welcome to the Filmmakers Podcast. This is a podcast where we talk
filmmaking,
from indie film to studio films and
high-end TV and everything in between.
How to get them made, how to make them, and how to try not to
royally F them up.
In our very, very humble opinion. I'm Giles Alderson. I'm a writer, director, and a producer. And who the hell are you?
Domsel.
Domsel in distress. It is Dom Lenoir. And the reason he said that is because today's guest is the director and writer of Damsel, the new Millie Bobby Brown movie. And who did you speak to, Dom?
I spoke to director Juan Carlos Fresnadillo.
Woof! Give us a little lowdown of what our audience can learn from today's episode.
How to do a creature feature fantasy adventure, which is a large amount of CGI and a large amount of not CGI. There's location shooting in Portugal. There is considerations of facing your fears as both an actor and as a performer, and how to get around that as a director with making your cast feel comfortable. There's working with a studio such as Netflix, and also collaborating with Millie as an exec producer.
There we go. That's going to be super exciting for you coming up very soon. But before we get there, there was some huge news this week during the reading of the UK government spring budget. Last week, in fact, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Jeremy Hunt, he revealed a 40% corporate tax relief for film and TV studios all the way through to 2034. Basically, this plan includes a new tax credit for independent films shot in the UK that have a budget of less than 15 million or up to 15 million. We don't know yet if there's a below 1 million. We might find out in a second. And also a 5% increase in credit for visual effects in film and high-end TV, along with the removal of that 80% cap. Of visual effects. Because me and Dom know bits about this, but not enough, we thought we'd bring on an expert who does know a bit about this. He wrote a blog exactly about this. It is the fantastic Sam Ampar from Alliance. Hello, mate. How you doing?
How you doing, guys? You right, Giles? You right, Dom? Good to see you guys. Thanks for bringing me on.
Very nice to see you.
Thanks for bringing me. Really appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure, mate. Really appreciate it.
Budding podcast host, if I recall as well.
Yeah, that was like a long time ago. I think I'll leave it to the experts now.
Well, in this case, you are the expert.
Oh, well,
yeah.
I mean, you're probably an expert podcaster too, because we're not. We're just two bumbling idiots, but we do our best to help our filmmakers out there. And this is the perfect time to do it because, you know, looking at what it says, what Jeremy Hunt has said, I was very careful of his name there, it is 40%. He's saying it's 40%. But actually, when you look at it, it's 53.3%. But when you actually look at that and you go into the details of it, it's literally, well, it's 32-ish. And then if you take off if you're paying for, if you're cash flowing the tax credit if yourselves, then it comes down even further to about 28%, which is still an increase from what it was before.
Yeah. Going to put in your money laundering costs, you know, all that up.
No, but in all seriousness, it's still an amazing increase. Let's say the lowest increase is 11%, which is huge. But can you break it down for us? Because everyone's been getting excited about this and saying, no, it is 40%. And someone else going, it's 53.3. And other people going, it's 32. In my mind, it's 32. But let's discuss this. Sam, go through this in detail for us and we'll throw questions at you like the idiots we are.
Yeah. All right. Well, so most of the percentages you threw out there were correct.
Like, yes!
So, yeah. Well, what it is the headline rate is 53%. Right. 53.3% if you want to be
precise.
Technical. Yeah, precise. But once you start bringing in the calculation, that's when the percentages fall. So it goes from 53% at the headline rate. So when you're looking at your total core cost, you'll do 53% on that. However, because what's happening now is that there's going to be a notional tax charge at 25%, which is the corporation tax amount.
Okay, break that down a little bit for us. What do you mean by that? The corporation tax. So, yeah, just talk us through that, just so we're clear.
What I'll do is I'll compare it to the regime we've got now. Mm-hmm. So this is not AVIC. I'm going to compare it to the film tax relief.
Yes.
So with the film tax relief, it is 25% on 8%, whatever.
Yes.
So, however, that percentage isn't taxed. So when I do my magic, mm-hmm. and I'm doing the accounts and I'm putting in the tax claim to HMRC, once I get that figure, it doesn't get taxed again. So it's right. I calculated it, it goes into your accounts at that cost. So that's a below the line cost for an accounting in accounting terms. So it's not taxed. So with the new AVIC, which is the Audio Visual Expenditure Credit, so this was the original new relief in a way that the government announced last year. They said they're going to increase it to, the headline rate was 34% for film and TV, 39% for higher for children's TV and animation. So you just keep it with film and TV. The headline rate was 34%. However, there was going to be a notional tax charge. And what a notional tax charge is essentially the government are going to tax it, tax the amount they're going to give you at the corporation tax rate of 25%. So that's what brings the percentage down once you start adding in that tax charge.
Yeah, so I mean, it kind of sounds it sounds like giving with one hand and taking with the other. I mean, in a way,
in a way, yeah. But you're never going to see that money. Basically, they're not going to say, "Oh, here's £1 million." But by the way, we also want you to pay us back 25,000, whatever. They're not doing that, or 2,500. They're not doing that.
So it disappears before it gets to you, something.
It disappears exactly that.
Well, as Sam's saying there, so it's pretty much similar, like you say, as it was before. People mm-hmm. knew it was 25%. Of mm-hmm. whatever our UK spend was, which actually, when you worked it out, was 19, 18, 19. And no one ever complained. That was what it was, and we all knew. So it's the same here, right? We're saying it's 40%, but it's actually 32, 33.
No, go on. Not really. So it's crazy. So it's 40%. If what's it called again? You're looking at the core cost capped at 80%, because that's the calculation. The calculation is the lower of total core cost capped at 80% or total UK cost. So that's what it is. So if we're saying, okay, do you know what? I've got all UK production, mm-hmm. we're doing our thing, we've capped it at 80%. Then we've added in that tax charge of 25%. You actually are getting 40% back, but you're getting 40% of the capped amount.
Yes.
Where that 31.8% or the 32%, if you want to be, you know, around it.
Which sounds better, doesn't it? Yeah.
Where that is that's actually on your total core cost. So before the cap comes in. So that's where the percentages are all getting thrown around. But where the government's saying actually 40%, what they're saying, it is correct because it's on the capped amount. But where people are saying 31.8%, that is also correct, but they haven't bought it on the capped amount. They bought it on the total core cost.
Right.
So do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just depending how you want to calculate, how it makes it easier for yourself, really, to calculate where you're going to get your percentage from.
Okay, so to break this down,
say if we had a let's just start as a one let's do a $2 million budget.
Should we make it a mil to make it easier?
A mil, okay, yeah. Mil. Let's say we have a mil budget. We're shooting in the UK.
Yep, has to. Or UK director, UK writer, which is important.
Yep.
According to the
let's go from there. What are we doing with that 32 and the 40?
Great question.
Well, doing it all with it, Dom, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. All with Dom. It made total sense, right?
30% times 40%. That's your return as an investor in the film industry.
Exactly. We're an investor right now. I've got £1 million, right? And if I'm saying to that investor,
what am I getting back?
Yeah, there's 40% that we can claim back here from the government. Mm-hmm. It's not, right? So we don't want to be saying 40%.
No, I don't think you do, actually. If you've got all UK production, if you really want to make it easier for yourself, just do it on the total core cost and do it on that 32%. That's it. If you just want to make it easy, you don't want to go into the calculation. So essentially, you've got £1 million budget. So the calculation I would do is I would look at that £1 million and I look at what's the lowest of. So I'm going to take that £1 million, I'm going to cap it, and I'm only going to take 80% of that. So that's 800,000. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've got. I've got this 800,000 now. That's what I'm going to do my calculation on going forward. So I would then do 53% on that, which is about, I've got my maths there now, 424,000.
We'll go with that, there. Sam. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa, this guy. And then,
who would think he was an accountant? Look at that.
Yeah, no, no. I haven't got the numbers in front of me, I believe.
he's got them in his head.
Yeah, that's it. Well, okay, then, all right, then I've got this 424,000, and now I'm going to do a notional tax charge on that. So that's just about, we're looking at about just over £1 million of this notional tax I'm going to deduct for my 100,000, which I'm going to deduct from my 420,000 that I've got. And then so once I deduct that, what I'm actually left with is actually what I'm going to get in my pocket, which is miraculously about 310,000. So do you see that? It's just how you're looking at doing a calculation.
Which is just, just about in the 30% range, just above. Yeah.
So I think we should be saying 31.5 or 32% of our budget can come back, which is great. That doesn't include if we're cash flowing this tax credit either, because especially at the moment, and Sam, please correct me if I'm wrong, we cannot claim this tax credit until April 2025, even though it comes into being on the 5th of April 2024, we can't actually claim that money back until April 2025.
So I suppose it's the same with SCIS, isn't it? Like, you know, there was a bit of a delay sometimes in terms of when that would actually materialize into, you know, the numbers.
For the losses.
Yeah.
I think the main reason for the delay is to not overwhelm the BFI.
I see.
With all the BFI and to an extent, and HMRC. You know, the one thing they don't want to do is everyone's going to go nuts and then now we're all going to be start putting in our claims and then there's further delays. They're going to have to check. They're going to have to get their systems in place. They're going to have to check things. But they're probably thinking, do you know what? Just bring it in now. So, you know, if I'm going into production on the 1st of April, I can technically know that I'm going to be doing it under this new independent film tax credit. However, I'm not going to be able to put in the actual claim until next year. So what you get now with a lot of productions, and trust me, I've seen it all, you get some, you can break up your period end to an extent. So like a normal company will file accounts and tax return every year. That's what a normal company would do. However, because you can shorten your period as much as you like, what you're getting is productions for right reasons, for cash flow purposes, they will shorten their period end. So they may do one for 5 months, which covers pre-production and principal photography. And then they'll do another one maybe at the end of once the film is complete. So that's how they're doing it. Where if the government were to leave it and say, actually, comes in 1st of April, you can start coming from 1st of April. Imagine it, that 40% or 32%, that's what's going to be going on. People are going to be going nuts.
I mean, I suppose the counter side to that is that when you're looking for investment, you're basically telling your investors that it's going to be, you know, basically a minimum of a year and probably 2-3 months, you know, assuming that there's, you know, assuming they hit the ground running and just smash out every request that comes flying in April, you're probably looking at like one year, 3 months to 1 year, 6 months for, you know, getting the sort of the claim back, which is, you know, it's a bit of a hurdle for some people.
Yeah, definitely. You are looking at that. I do think the government, well, we're hearing right now that the HMRC aren't expecting massive delays. They're not going to be increasing the lag that they, between the submission and paying out. That's what we're hearing right now. We all know in reality that we don't know. There could be big delays, there may not. So I do think, yeah, you are looking at maybe, if you're starting principal photography 1st of April, you are looking for about a year and 3 months before you get the money in. But how many are starting principal photography 1st of April? So it's all of that sort of, you know, juggling act in a way.
I think a lot of people will be pushing their project. If they're about to do one, they'll go, let's just start on the 1st of April now. You know, let's wait another 3 weeks and do it. Which basically,
April Fools.
Indeed. Yeah. I know, this is when this is launching. Everyone's like, is this a big April Fool? Yeah, I said the 5th earlier, I meant the 1st. But that means basically you've still got to cash flow that tax credit, right? You still, especially if that's going into your 1 million budget, that 32% we're talking about now, well, that's 320 grand, as we've discussed, or a bit less. You still need that cash to make your film, which means you need to cash flow that. And usually the fee for that is 10%. So suddenly that's where another bit of cash will go. So actually, it's not 32. If you take in that 10%, that's where
it's 20.
It's 28. So it's about 28.5. Is that right, Sam?
Yeah. If you're looking at it like, yeah, definitely that. And I think this model of cash flow and tax credits and stuff like that, they're quite popular now anyway. But I think with this new regime, they're going to get even more popular.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of companies doing that, you know, in the sort of coming year. I imagine, like, definitely sort of, you know, capitalizing on it. This is a safe bet. We can make some money here, so, for sure.
Yeah, because if you look at the guys who cash flow now, tax credits, pre-sales, whatever, they love a tax credit because it is the most, like, securest bit of lending they can really do, because essentially, as long as you're following the rules, it's near enough guaranteed that you're going to get that money back from the government, especially the UK government, where it's been very stable. You're going to get that money. So they're loving this idea that actually they can probably increase it. And it also, what it will allow is it may even enter new players into the field. So there's a lot more competition that might bring interest rates down or whatever, how people. So I do think there's an opportunity there. But you are looking at less if you're looking into cash flow in that manner, 100%.
Well, look, basically, this is fantastic. It's got a lot of people excited, even though it might only be an 11% increase from what it was, really, if you go from the 19% it was before to now 28, or what's that, 9, 10% anyway. But it's still an increase, right? Either way, that's huge for us to speak to investors.
Number go up.
I can't add up, hence why I'm not going to count. But basically, that means what we've got to be careful of is our investors don't go, oh, well, cool, you can make it for 11% cheaper. Then that's something, right, we've got to be careful of.
Also the other thing is, I mean, there are I've seen various people sort of raising concerns just from other sectors of whether they're going to basically rise, you know, the prices, and there's going to be no real pushback to regulate that, you know, on the distribution side or the production house side or whatever. Okay, well, we've got this extra money, therefore our prices are going to sort of go up to match, you know, accordingly. I mean, it's the same, you know, when you shoot in foreign countries and you get those ludicrous sort of 40-50% tax credits. It's making sure that the service costs and the other elements of the production aren't actually going up, you know, in line with the cost, which hopefully they're not going to, but has to be something we keep in mind.
100%. That's going to be really hard to regulate, that sort of side where people will be like, actually, do you know what? Let me jump up my prices a bit because I know these guys have got a little bit more money in their pocket. But I think the main reason for this is because you guys will know as well as me that right now to make a production in the UK is ridiculously difficult. Pre-sales are
non-existent.
Yeah. Gap is near enough non-existent. To get an equity investor to come in, and then you mention, oh, you're getting paid out of the net profit, or, you know, in a waterfall, is big risk. So I think the whole point of this tax credit is to ensure, you know, they're alleviating the risk a little bit. You know, they're building a little bit of a gap between what an investor will put in and what potentially they'll get out and stuff like that. That's what it's there to limit the risk that a film poses, really. So I hope that in mind, you know, suppliers won't be increasing their prices because it's still hard. You still got to have the money to get the money back, right? It's all an incurred spent. So if you haven't got that 5 million to make your project, there's no point them increasing their prices because still no one's going to be able to make a film.
Well, this is the problem with the UK film industry right now, is that there's hardly any investors out there. There's hardly anyone. And it's been very evident in the last 6 months since the SAG strike, actually, where things have just gone downhill in the UK. This helps. There's no question about it. It's very much needed. But imagine what would have happened if this had come in 2 years ago or 3 years ago. We would be so flourishing right now. Anyway, I'm not moaning. I'm just saying it's a shame.
Facts. Yeah.
What about the second part of that, which is the AVEC, which is the, just so we're really clear, this is totally separate. You can't do the IFTC, which is the Independent Film Tax Credit, and the AVEC at the same time, which is the Audiovisual
Expenditure Credit.
You can't do them both at the same time, right? Is that correct?
You can't. So in a way, the Independent Film Tax Credit is an enhancement on AVEC. So you that's essentially what it is for film. So let's say you're making a film for, let's call it 20 million.
Yes, please. Yes, please.
So yeah, internet. We've got this.
All right, Billy, big time.
Yeah, we're in the big time.
Why not?
Our craft is endless. We're ready to go. Yeah, so you couldn't do your first 15 million on IFTC and then the rest of the next 5 million on AVIC. At this moment in time, my understanding that that's not going to be the case. Your AVIC is going to essentially be AVIC. So that's going to be the 34% for high-end TV and films over 15 million. For children's TV and animation, it's staying at the 39%.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the AVEC, which is animation and visual effects tax relief, and the IFTC, which is what a lot of independent filmmakers will be using.
Yeah.
That's the independent film tax credit. So that's the new name of it now. There's not more, more BFI tax credit. It is now the independent film tax credit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
And the visual effects one you mentioned just there is another thing that the government announced. So out of all the sectors in the UK, the creative industry or film industry is the one that is absolutely going crazy right now with happiness. Everyone else is a little bit sad. VFX is that this is essentially another sort of tax credit that the UK, that Jeremy Hunt announced. And they had consultation on it, I think from January last year until like now or stuff like that. But what they're saying there is that if you've got VFX in your production, what they're going to say is that essentially they're going to take those VFX costs and have another calculation for that at a higher rate. So let's say we're making a high-end TV program. So it's £1 million, whatever, for high-end. So we'll literally take that VFX cost out, whatever that is, and then we'll do a separate calculation on that.
Wow.
And that's going to be at a higher rate than had we just left it in. And that was just to bring more productions back into the UK to do their VFX, because the UK was losing loads of productions, the VFX side of it anyway.
Does that affect virtual production as well? Where does that sit? Do you know?
Usually in a studio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for coming.
He's not wrong.
That's the problem. He's not.
We don't know, because they actually haven't defined what they're going to do as what they're going to class as VFX.
Right.
So we're waiting. There wasn't a lot of information released
about VFX.
They just sort of told us this is what they're going to do. And now we're waiting for the detail. And it's technically the same with independent film tax credit. There's not a crazy amount of detail that they've released. So we're all just sitting and waiting. I'm refreshing HMRC's website every hour.
Are you really?
I just want to know. Please tell me, guys.
And then finally, it's Neil Chaudia mentioned this on on socials, as did Matthew Butler-Hart as well, was the fact that if we brought back EIS for single projects, it's for single SPVs, special purpose vehicles, this would also massively change our industry. It used to be there and then people abused it and it went away about 10 years ago or maybe less.
I mean, that's the best end game, you know, because it was a really foolproof system, and it was very, very good. So I mean, that would be, you know, on top of this, that would be a great thing for the industry in general.
Sam, what's your view on it?
Yeah, that would be amazing, because it comes, that's like step one, right? You raise the money. Step two is you then get the tax credit on the money you spent. But if you can't get the money in the first place, they can give us 100% of the money back. But if you can't actually get the initial bit of funding to make it, then it's pointless. But it would be great. Can I see that happening? No, not really. But I said that about the increase in the independent film tax credit, so there's no point asking me about policy, because I tend to get it wrong. So, so it would be great. And I still remember that day they changed the rules. It crippled the industry.
It did.
It was a big downer. It was a very big downer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll be fantastic, but okay. I just can't see it.
Right. We've got to hope and pray. All right. So let's just round this up in a little bubble. This is fantastic. Mm-hmm. What the IFTC now is basically 53.3% of your
headline figure.
Oh God. And then 40%. but actually what it comes down to is 32, but then you take off your cash flow and the tax credit. And it's somewhere between 28% and 32%. Basically, that's how you think of it, which to be honest is a huge increase. And anything to get our investors excited, right? That's what's important.
Yeah, 100%. And there's not many countries that have that sort of, do you know, there's a lot, if you look around the world at the different tax credits, every country has got a really big number. But then once you start breaking it down, you really aren't getting that much out. A lot of countries may cap it at above the line cost or, you know,
Yes. There's
so much detail in terms of to get it to the number that you actually get. So the UK have tried to make it as transparent as possible. I know we've thrown out loads of different percentages of the criteria, but actually it's a lot better than I think some other countries. And I think the main big thing with this is that in order to qualify, you've got to have one of the three, a UK director, a UK writer, and or be an official co-pro. That's really big, big thing for us because, you know, you could technically make a production in the UK, but have no, let's say, HODs or no like significant roles being British.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're claiming our tax credit, and technically speaking, you know, this is taxpayers' money. But now with this new independent film tax credit, there's going to be someone in a really, you know, dominant position, either a writer, director, is going to be British, and that can only be a good thing for us.
Yeah, it really can. So there we go. That's a little roundup. Clear as mustard, clear as mud.
Yeah.
This is what we know so far. Listen, do follow Sam Ampar and Elliot's accountants. They are fantastic. They do know their numbers.
Don't literally follow them, but maybe follow their accounts.
Follow their accounts because on there he's doing updates and he will give you another update on that very soon.
I mean, we can let you know some coffee shops that Sam frequents if that's helpful, but we're not going to give too much away.
Yeah, you will find him in Cannes though, and you can then pick his brain even more when he's there.
You can follow me then.
around the streets, down the corset. But listen, Sam Ampar, thank you so much for joining us. Real pleasure. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. What a pleasure.
Thanks for having me, guys. Honestly, I love the podcast, so to be here is a dream come true, as they say.
Oh,
I can retire now.
Please don't retire. We need you. We're going to have you back on for sure to discuss more of this. Now you can sit there uncomfortably while we wrap up this intro. It's a nice long intro. So here we go. This is our episode with Damsel director Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. This is produced by Morgan Bush, Jonathan Legrand, and Joe Roth. Cinematography was Larry Fong. This movie stars Millie Bobby Brown, Ray Winston, Angela Bassett, and Robin Wright. It's fantastic. Right, Dom?
Yeah, it's a classic. If you love those kind of fantasy adventure films when you were growing up and you wanted to sort of see them come back, this is a nice hark back to that era. It's a really fun movie. And Juan was a really great guy. You know, he was jet lagged and going through the ringer with, you know, doing all the interviews, but he really wanted to give it his all and really sort of go into the depth about, you know, what his process was for making the film and all those great collaborations. So it's a great episode.
Excellent. And here it is. This is Dom chatting to Juan Carlos Fresnadillo. Have fun.
I have made a match. A prince. We need this. Your people need you.
I need you to listen to me now. I don't trust them. They may be royalty, but that doesn't make them good people.
Your hand, child.
Close your eyes. I've got you.
Come on.
Elodie. You join a long line of women who have helped to build this kingdom. It is this sacrifice we commemorate every generation. A tradition going back centuries. A legacy of honor and duty you now inherit.
So let's talk about that collaboration with Netflix and Millie and how that kind of worked once you sort of came on board the project.
So working with Netflix was, to me, was a real pleasure because they, despite the fact that this is a big production and obviously, you know, every time that you have a lot of money, not money, but you have a lot of, you know, resources on that, there is a natural pressure to make everything look great and you know, but they gave me a lot of freedom creatively. And that's something that I would never forget. You know, it's a pleasure to work with the executives like Nick Nesbitt and Veronica Hidalgo, who are very creative.
Mm.
And they're always looking for creativity when they are making movies. So, and with Millie, to have Millie on board since the beginning was amazing because literally, I would say that to me, she is the best actress in her generation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She has that power. She has a special power, I would say, almost like a superhero.
Mm.
And I would say among the skills that she has, the one that it's really amazing, especially thinking about how young she is, it's really rare to see actors who have the ability to literally grab the audience,
yeah,
and take the audience with them,
mm,
and make them travel with them no matter where they are, you know? And Millie has that kind, yeah, of thing. She has that, you cannot take your eyes off her, you know? It's like you're completely drawn into whatever she does.
Is it the emotional depth? Is it the presence? I mean, because I remember when I first watched Stranger Things, it was that same gravity, and you know, I was amazed at her, and it's great what you've managed to work with her as well.
Yes, and I think it's related with something that it's natural on them. It's kind of a something that comes,
yeah,
as a default.
Yeah,
but also it's something. It's a special ability to switch from reality into a different place.
Sure, yeah.
And having that switch, which is a very quick switch, by the way, it's a gift. You know, it's a gift that it's really rare to find.
Yeah.
And thinking about that, the ability that she has to grab the audience and travel with her, I think also it's related with the fact that she opens herself in a very honest way.
Mm.
And you could see right away what is inside of her.
Yeah.
You know, she doesn't have any shame to show what she has to show, you know? But again, it's amazing how she's dealing with really difficult things in the story and the audience is completely grabbed by her.
Yeah.
You know? And it's almost like thinking about that, maybe the audience create like a kind of bonding with her. And you as an audience member, you want to protect her or you want, yeah, to, you know, you care for her because you don't want to for her to suffer, you know, in some ways. Mm. So that's why when she's suffering in a movie, that's why it's really moving, you know, because, yeah, you're so connected, profoundly connected with her, you know. And thinking about all other skill that she has, and again, that's kind of a natural sparkling thing, is she has also the ability to remind you that the kid that you have inside.
Yeah.
The playful, the curiosity, which is related and connected with our inner kid, with our inner child. She has the gift of touching that inner child and showing to the audience in a second, you know? And that's something really moving. That's something, yeah, that literally puts you in a very emotional place right, yeah, away, you know?
Well, I mean, so much of who we are as adults is those incredibly important sort of formative years, and anything that can connect you with that is incredibly powerful and moving. Was there anything in particular that maybe you discussed with her once you sort of came on as a director in terms of maybe rewrites or just her sort of perspective on the script or your perspective that maybe changed things from, you know, how they sort of arrived and how you sort of ended up when you collaborated?
Yeah. When I knew that she has claustrophobia.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I thought, oh my God, this is going to be a big problem because, you know, the journey through the caves. It is what it is. So specifically, there was a scene that you probably remember where Elodie is stuck and she's tried to move and she cannot. She's completely, you know.
Yes, that was quite terrifying, actually.
It is quite terrifying. And that's why we shot that in a very comfortable way.
Sure.
We had many conversations about to shoot it. I have to be quick. I had to do it fast, but it was really nice to see how she was willing to face her fear.
Yeah, which is such a powerful thing on screen, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's there.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
I got the impression that that moment, that beat, is almost like a life therapy.
Yes.
You know? And, and you see how Millie Bobby Brown is facing her fear and in some ways overcoming the fear. Yeah. Because she did it, you know?
Which is such a cathartic thing for an audience as well, like to experience that themselves.
Yeah. So I'm so blessed and grateful that she did it, because it's not easy when you have that fear, you know.
What was your sort of process for rehearsal? Also, how did you talk? I mean, you obviously got the map. I suppose that was part of the, you know, building the world with the actors as well. But do you do rehearsals on set? Do you just like to talk through the script in advance?
It's important to have the quiet time away from the shooting. You know, it's important to have those conversations a couple of months before, if it's possible, because then you can apply apply those ideas into the schedule and the shooting. But yes, I remember to have really good conversations with Millie, with Robin, with Ray about the way to build the character. And about, and I'm one of those directors that I'm very obsessive about details. And I love to have everything planned and organized. But then at the same time, I love to leave the actors, you know, fly.
Yeah.
And own the character. And literally, you know, giving me, you know, ideas that I wasn't expecting.
Yes.
So to me, the ideal is to rehearse a couple of days before the scene to have some kind of knowledge about what is happening. And then the day is more about a technical thing.
Yeah.
It's about to show to the crew what we're doing and decide the best positions for the camera.
And I suppose that works really well because A, you have time to decompress. B, you've got time for ideas to sort of come and adjustments to be made. And you know, C, you're not sort of going through all the really technical stuff right before you're expecting everyone to give their sort of A game. So it seems like a really good sort of strategy. What were some of the hardest, you know, moments or scenes to shoot out of the movie?
The one that I mentioned before, when she's stuck in the caves.
Yes.
That was difficult for the reasons that I told you. And also, I don't know why, but you know, it was so hot in Portugal when we shot the arrival of the carriage.
It's really exhausting, yeah.
We were in a valley that it was also even hotter than the exterior, than the surrounding areas. So it was hell. People were passing. So we really felt such a strange paradox to showing the beauty of the kingdom, but literally suffering and sweating and it wasn't pleasant at
it's
all.
It's tough, isn't it? Yeah. So just as a sort of last question, if you had to give yourself some advice, or maybe an upcoming filmmaker sort of trying to get their first movie made, or, you know, wondering if they're going to make it in the industry, like what might that be?
It's really difficult, you know, to say advices, you know, because sometimes it sounds like you're patronizing people, you know. The thing that I would say is the one that I was told when I was a filmmaker, you know, and I think I found it really useful, you know, always follow your instinct when you have to decide something. Even if it's difficult, follow your instinct. What did your instinct is telling you? And if it's an uncomfortable answer, follow it, because at the end of the day, instinct is so right.
Well, thank you so much, Juan Carlos. Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely brilliant chat. And, you know, I love the movie and I wish you all the success with it.
Thank you. Thank you so much, man. Thank you.
So there we have it. That was Juan Carlos Fresnadillo chatting to writer, director, producer Dom Lemoir and tax expert Dom Lemoir.
Oh, what a wonderful chat.
It was a wonderful chat. We still have Sam Ampar here because we're doing the intro at the same time as the outro. Sam, again, thank you so much for that stunning bit of information. Really appreciate it a lot. Don't do a thumbs up. This is a podcast. Don't do a thumbs up. We can't see.
He's just throwing like $20, $50 bills over his shoulder and smiling.
He's on his bed of money and roses. brilliant. Damsel is out now on Netflix, Dom?
Yeah.
Great. It is out now on Netflix. Do go watch it. This is Damsel. Really fun. Again, thank you very much, Sam Ampar from Aliots. We will see your thumbs up again. Love that. Say bye. Go on, Dave.
See you later, guys.
He's well done now.
This is like an episode of Blue Peter.
A really bad one. Here's what we stuck together earlier. All right, thank you, everyone. Go out there, make your films now. You know more about the IFTC, the tax credit that's introduced in the UK anyway. For any of our overseas listeners, I hope that wasn't too boring for you and you didn't care at all. But anyway, you could have skipped through it. We will see you next Tuesday when we have on Beekeeper director David Ayer. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of buzz about that one.
It is. Sam's literally got his head in his hands. That is out now on Sky. You can go watch that as well. Thank you very much. Domsel in Distress. You smashed another episode, I imagine. I haven't listened yet. But until next Tuesday, thank you, Dom Lenoir, director, writer, producer.
Thank you, Giles Alderson, director, writer, producer, and funny man.
Wow, I'll take that all day. And thank you, Sam Ampar, Aliots accountant extraordinaire.
There we go. He's smiling.
It's a
verbal
now.
Goodbye. We've done the goodbyes.
Just say goodbye. That's what we do on this podcast. Yeah. Say goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
See you next Tuesday, everyone. Bye.
Bye.